is Decoding the Crime Verse.
911, what's your emergency?
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory!
Correct, that is correct. And, right. Yo, guys, this one's a little bit deep. I'm just saying. It's one of those ones that's a little bit like... It's like the traumatizing ones to your soul. I'm just... Yeah. It is a story that's not about a serial killer or a political takedown. It's something different, something more disturbing, because of the heart of it were children.
What?
Okay. This is the story of the McMartin preschool abuse trial.
Okay.
If you're ready, it's like...
Yeah.
A case that gripped America in the 1980s sparked a nationwide panic and led to one of the longest, most extensive trials in U.S. history. But in the end, not a single person was convicted. Like, that's mad.
Okay.
Okay. And the question still lingers. Did something happen, or did hysteria create a crime that never actually existed? It's a bit of a food for thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so it began with a letter. In 1983, a mother named Judy Johnson contacted the Manhattan Beach Police Department in California. She said her two-year-old son, who had attended the McMartin preschool, had been sexually abused by one of the teachers, Ray Buckey. Okay. Her allegations weren't just disturbing, they were bizarre. She claimed her son had been taken to secret tunnels beneath the school. I'm a little bit skeptical by that
thing. Yeah.
Okay. That Buckey could fly. Okay. Is the mom okay?
That's a
very
good
question. I
feel like
the mom is not okay.
Yeah.
She also claimed that there had been satanic rituals. At first, the police didn't act, but Judy kept pushing. Soon, a letter was sent to over 200 families who had children at the preschool. It asked parents to question their children, and it opened floodgates. More parents came forward, more accusations emerged, and almost overnight, a full-blown investigation began. Well, I suppose, y'all, when you get people talking...
Yeah.
It starts to all unravel. And this is unfortunately the things when things happen to kids, kids don't automatically be like, oh, something happens to me. This happens. Like, that doesn't
happen. Yeah, because there's like a little bit of trauma.
It's trauma, but also they don't know better. I mean, that's why kids nowadays, when they are first, one of the first things they're taught at school is, this is your no-no square. And if anybody touches on your no-no square, then you're supposed to say something. Because kids don't know. Kids don't know that somebody... if they haven't been told, they don't know it's a weird thing if somebody touches you in a private area, to say the least. So police brought in a child abuse clinic, which was called the Children's Institute International, or CII. Wow. Psychologists there began interviewing dozens, eventually hundreds of children. But here's where things get murky. The interviews were aggressive, leading, and suggestive. Now, this is also another thing. You can lead a kid to tell you what you want them to
say.
You can suggest things. You can be very, very manipulative. Okay, and there were obviously tape recordings for evidence purposes, and I'm going to read you a quote from one of the tape recordings that said, "Had anyone ever touched you there? What about Mr. Ray? Did he ever hurt you?" So it's again like pushing, pushing, pushing. And kids obviously are very susceptible, and they'll just be like, yes, of course. That's just how kids are.
Yeah.
So some children said no at first, but after repeated questioning, many changed their stories. So again, now was this truth or was this fabricated evidence?
Yeah.
Okay. They started saying they had been abused. That they'd been forced to watch animal sacrifices. and were taken on hot air balloon rides. What? They had been abused by clowns and witches, and some said they saw secret rooms, hidden tunnels, and adults in robes chanting.
What?
That's a bit horrifying.
Yeah.
But also, it was becoming increasingly unbelievable. And I kind of feel that. I mean, like, I feel like a kid would make up the story that they went in a hot air balloon. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, what? Where on school grounds was there just a random hot air balloon?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Still, the media latched on and panic spread. And I'm going to read a clip from a 1980s news report, and it said, authorities are investigating what could be satanic child abuse ring operating in Southern California. This was the 1980s, the height of what would later be called the Satanic Panic. That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's really funny, but it's funny at the same time. There were claims of devil worship, underground cults, and ritual abuse. Not just at McMartin, but across the country. Talk shows, news segments, even police training materials warned of satanic conspiracies. But yeah. There were no physical evidence. No photos, no injuries, no recordings, no tunnels found. Now, you see, here's where I start to become this little conspiracy theorist. Because nobody knew that Mr. P. Diddy had tunnels under his house.
Yeah.
So they found the tunnels under his house. And that's been for decades. So could this potentially be something that could have been accurate? I mean, we are in California. That's Hollywood is located in California.
Yeah.
That is known as the Devil's Playground. It is, for me, there could be some truth, but I think a lot of the stories were blown out of proportion or exaggerated. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Still, in 1984, seven teachers from McMartin Preschool were arrested, including Ray Bucky and his mother, Peggy McMartin Bucky. The charges, over 300 counts of child molestation.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is actually crazy. The case finally went to trial in 1987. It would last for 7 years. What? That's your whole primary school.
Yeah.
I mean, like, those kids would have probably graduated by then.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, children testified, but many contradicted themselves. Some recanted, some described events that were impossible. Again, if you give a child center stage, Glory has a little nephew. And if you allow him to talk, he comes up with the most absurd stories that have no possibility of being accurate
exactly.
or even remotely close to the truth. And so when you give kids the spotlight, yeah, it's a little bit, especially if they now start going to their friends and talking and they start concocting stories, can be very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. The defense argued that the children had been manipulated, that they were victims not of abuse, but of suggestion, pressure, and mass hysteria. The prosecution struggled. Despite years of proceedings and tens of millions of dollars spent, the evidence just wasn't holding up. And I can see why. There's no actual evidence that something happened to these kids.
Yeah.
It's just a crazy mother who wrote a letter. In 1990, after 3 years of testimony, the jury acquitted Peggy Bucky on all charges. For Ray Bucky, the jury was deadlocked. The second trial followed and another hung jury. Finally, in 1991, the charges were dropped. Ray Bucky spent 5 years in jail without a single conviction. The others never even went to trial. In the end, no one was found guilty, but no one really felt innocent either. The children, many now adults, still carried the trauma, whether from abuse or from the investigation itself, which I think can, when you manipulate a kid like that, it can have psychological damage on them.
Yeah.
Some say they were abused, others say they were brainwashed, families were destroyed, and lives were ruined. And that's actually quite sad that one woman's letter could ruin so many people's lives.
Yeah.
Judy Johnson, the mother who first raised the alarm, was later diagnosed with schizophrenia. I'm not even surprised by that. In fact, that's the most logical thing that's been said this show.
Yeah, literally.
Like, what? Like, my thing is, right? Her allegations at first seemed really delusional. Why was she not tested right there and then? That would have saved a whole bunch of people their lives and even a whole bunch of money. Anyway, she died of alcohol-related complications before the trial ever began. I'm just gonna just move past that.
Yeah.
Investigations into the clinic that conducted the interview showed that many of their methods were deeply flawed, even damaging. Their tactics would later be held up as textbook example of how not to interview children. Imagine. Mm. And yet, it changed everything. Laws around child testimony, the way police investigate abuse, and the way media handles allegations. The McMartin case taught us just how fragile the truth can be when fear takes over, which I definitely agree. Panic and fear can be as dangerous as the crimes can be committed because people do very stupid things when they're scared.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So what happened at McMartin? Were the crimes really committed, or was this just a case of mass delusion fueled by paranoia, pure psychology, and a sensationalist media? We may never know for sure. What we do know is this: the justice system failed. Whether it failed the victims or the accused depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
But in a court of public opinion, the scars remain. And I definitely think, for me, I don't know. I like the fact that she was diagnosed with schizophrenia. I disregard everything she said. That letter is complete bogus. Which for me then, if her letter was complete bogus, then there was an abuse, which means that all those children were coerced into making false claims. That's very sad. If you tell a child something long enough, they'll believe it. Imagine you have to keep repeating, oh my goodness, I was abused. Eventually your little brain starts to believe you were abused.
Yeah.
I mean, you're small. I mean, that's such psychological damage on a child who wasn't even touched. Like, that's madness. For me, this is quite a shocking case.
It's
disturbing because it just was messed up in so many areas.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, actually. So, yeah, that is the McMartin trial. Is there anything you'd like to add before we close? I know, it's like it's a bit of a sense of, like, disappointment. Like, people that, like, really did this have to happen? Oh, my goodness. Nothing you want to add? No. All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
We help distributors grow their sales by over 15% in the first 90 days with our automated mobile software solution. RapidTrade is used by over 16,000 users worldwide, and we process over 120,000 transactions per day on both iOS and Android. From app ordering and management to e-commerce and even van sales, or electronic proof of delivery, we've got your business covered. Call us for a demo on 011-493-9755 or email us at sales@rapidtrade.com. Go on, make your customer a happy one today by getting onto RapidTrade.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.